New Testament Christianity. All right, here's Brother E.C. Moore.
Thank you for watching this morning, and I ask you to turn in your Bible with me to Romans chapter 11. As is usual, I want to invite you to get a pencil and a piece of paper. Excuse me. And write down the scripture references as we're giving them unto you. I want to begin by referring again to the fact that this is called Grace Believers Bible Study. We emphasize the first two words, grace, believers. That is, we believe that salvation is saved by grace through faith, without any works, any effort on the individual's part. Now, in Romans chapter 11, this thing about grace versus works is very clear. And if you accept the Bible at face value, if you believe the Bible means exactly what it says, as it says it, where it says it, and don't worry about interpretation, just accept the Scripture at face value, then you know that salvation cannot be, righteousness cannot be, by works, through grace, or grace through works. Now notice in Romans 11, verse 5, even so then at this present time, and the time there is in the first century, it's referred to as the dispensation of the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. That is, there's a remnant of Israel. In the context, Israel is the subject. Verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. If by grace it is no more of works, well then, righteousness at one time was by works. Under the law, their keeping of the law was accounted to them for righteousness. And so he said it is no more of works. If you notice my chart up here, the crucifixion of Christ here, we'll say that Acts 9 is out here, the dispensation of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19 says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. So, this has to do then with salvation by grace through faith. So, if it's by grace, it is no more of works. Back in the passage. Verse 6, if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. In other words, if it is of works, then grace is no more grace. You can't have it both ways. You can't have unmerited favor while you're earning it. You can't earn salvation without making God owe you something. Hold on then, turn to chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, if you work for your salvation, if you work for justification today, then God owes it to you. And that's the key. There are thousands of people in America today that are so proud and haughty and so puffed up that they've been convinced that they can do certain things and God will love them. Yet the passage that we're reading in Romans chapter 5, chapter 11, verse 6 is clear. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? In other words, as in Ephesians, there is a dispensation out here called the dispensation of the grace of God. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Then there's somebody lied somewhere. Notice in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. Then Paul was given the dispensation of the grace of God to you Gentiles. Go back in Romans chapter 11 and skip down to verse 11. I say then, if they, a reference to Israel as a nation, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles but to provoke them to jealousy. Back there in the Old Testament, God Almighty called Moses upon Mount Sinai, and you'll find this in Exodus chapter 19. And he said, Moses, go tell my people, tell Israel, if you will obey my covenants and keep my commandments, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all nations. For all the world is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. In other words, God exalted Israel back there, not physically, but spiritually and politically above the nations of the world. But they rejected his son. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And through their fall, salvation came to the Gentiles. So Israel is a fallen nation today. Now go back to Romans 11, verse 6. I said there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You didn't misunderstand that. Everybody that read that verse with me and paid attention to what they're reading and believed that God meant what he said, as he said it, where he said it, you know that works and grace will no more mix than water and oil. You can't be saved by works and have it to be a free gift from Almighty God. If you work for it, then God owes it to you. And that's the key. You're so proud and haughty and so puffed up that you've convinced yourself that you're just going to be so good until God can't help but just take you out of the world someday. But in doing that, you're rejecting his righteousness. Notice in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, pertaining to the Gentiles, notice in verse 14, I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. For so much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein, that is in the gospel, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Then there is something that is called the truth. So we call this Grace Believers Bible Study. Believers who believe in the dispensation of grace by rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He didn't say rightly dividing the Bible. He said rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Well, what is the word of truth? Well, we'll practice what God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. He said, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So we're going to compare spiritual things, those things written down in the Bible. We're going to compare Scripture with Scripture. So turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, and let's see what the word of truth is. In Ephesians chapter 1, of course, he's writing to the Ephesians. The Ephesians are Gentiles who in time past had been without Christ. They'd been without God in the world, without hope, and so forth, according to chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Now he turns to the Ephesians, verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Well, what is the gospel of the Ephesians' salvation? It's called the word of truth. Read it again, verse 13. In the gospel of your salvation. Well, what are we to rightly divide? We're to rightly divide the word of truth. Or we'll rightly divide the gospel. And that's what we're attempting to do. So with my chart up here, back here I have, this would be the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. His baptism by John the Baptist. And if you want to know the cause of that baptism, then check it out in John chapter 1. Read it carefully. John chapter 1. Jesus Christ was baptized that he might be identified with Israel. Baptism belongs to Israel, not the Gentiles. Now, so here's the beginning of his ministry. Here's his crucifixion, a period of time of basically 3.5 years. And so in here would be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, during this period of time, the Bible said that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Well, then his ministry is to Israel, they're his own people. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 7, that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, comparing Scripture with Scripture now. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, come to verse 12, Ephesians 2, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now try the verse. Look at it again. Verse 12. That at that time, what time is he talking about? Verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. So at some time in the past, they were without Christ. Verse 12. That you at that time were without Christ. being aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. Well, then Jesus Christ didn't come to all the world back there. Jesus Christ didn't come to the Gentiles back there. Why, there was a Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15 and in the book of Mark, I believe chapter 9, that came to Jesus and asked him to heal her daughter, and he answered her not a word. Is it because she's so immoral? No. There is a dispensational barrier there. Jesus Christ came unto his own. Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that at that time you Gentiles, you Ephesians and so forth, you Gentiles, at that time you were without Christ. In other words, the doctrine then in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was not written unto you that hear me. At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The covenants of promise? Turn to Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, and notice in verse 8, write it down and study it. Romans 15, verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. But it wasn't unto the Ephesians. You just read it there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that at that time passed, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. Well, Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was confirming the promises made unto the fathers, and they did not include the Ephesian Gentiles, and it didn't include you. The covenants of promise? Notice in Romans chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself was cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, Jews, Israelites. Verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Then the promises are to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, David, and so forth. And Jesus is confirming them during this period of time, and you're out of the picture. So that goes to the New Testament. Doesn't make any difference whether people like it. You're not in it. To Israel pertain the covenants. So what if people did? That back in the past, they took hold of this and they said, well, we are spiritual Israel. Baloney. Turn, please, to Jeremiah, and look in Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. All right, in Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Jeremiah 31, we'll start in verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Didn't say anything about a Gentile in this. Verse 32, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their inward parts, write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall not teach, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least unto the great. Come on, folks. Anybody that's reading with me and listening to me that has sense enough to the words without being knows that today missions is the big deal. Sending missions. Yet this passage says, in the day of this covenant, no more will they say to your brother or so forth, your neighbor, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. But as if that wasn't enough, however many covenants and promises there are back there, the Ephesians are not in them. How do I know that? Because I just read it a few minutes ago in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. And if you believe your Bible, then you know that you were not in those covenants. You were not involved where the law is concerned. Why the Ephesians were not brought to Christ by the law, they didn't even believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, on my chart up here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the minister of Christ to Israel. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, the Lord never gave you the power to become a son of God. If you're saved, you're saved by grace. If you're saved, you're saved because that you believe in Jesus Christ, trusting that he died for your sins. You're not powerful. And adopted into the family of God, or else you're lost. So, what have I been talking about last week and the week? I was talking about that the people here, all of these people in here, weren't saved. Say, but they believed in Jesus Christ. Well, sure they did. But what was it they were told? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, during that period of time, Jesus is preaching a murder indictment against Israel. They had crucified their Messiah. And he said, you by wicked hands have crucified and slain him, but God hath raised him up. And so in verse 37, and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins. Well, remission of sins isn't until the second coming of Christ. In other words, they were to repent and be baptized looking forward to that at the second coming. But at that point in time, they didn't know anything about a 1900 to 2000 year time between where Peter preached that and the second coming. They knew the tribulation, which would be 7 years long, they knew that would be in there. But they didn't know about this. It was involved in something that was a mystery. And so he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Peter said, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So, the Lord had already taught them about the tribulation. And he said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. When would they be saved? They'd be saved at the second coming. So, what is wrong today? people are brainwashing thousands and thousands and millions of people by preaching a doctrine to them today that is not true for them this day. It is true. It's as true today as it ever was. But it isn't written to you. Why, as if all that wasn't enough, in Acts chapter 2, Peter said, you men of Jerusalem, you men of Judea, let all Israel know assuredly that you're not even in the picture there. And so people have been taught that salvation is by repenting and being baptized and so forth. And so an individual repents and he gets baptized and he's told he's saved. He isn't saved. These people that repented and were baptized were not saved and wouldn't be saved. They had to endure to the end to be saved. Hence, the doctrine in the denominational system today is to endure, hold out, hold on, keep the commandments, do good works in order that you can be saved while they claim to be saved. But you know what? That's not true of us. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Take Matthew 24 in one hand. Matthew 24, I want you to read the verse. Matthew 24, verse 13. Jesus said, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." They repented and were baptized, had to endure to the end to be saved. What about us? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, comparing Scripture with Scripture. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Why, you that are reading with me couldn't miss that if you had any desire to see the truth. Why, you don't have to repent and be baptized to be saved. You have to trust Jesus Christ, believing that He died on Calvary to pay for your sins. The wages of sin is death. He paid for your sins. Claim Him, receive Him, trust Him, and it's a done deal. These people that repent and get baptized have to hold out unto the end to be saved, but by grace, we that trust Christ are saved by faith.